you know, that's another porn myth as well. There's, you know, an act in pornography, and it's called ATM, which we can all do it here. It's called ass to mouth. And then that's such a big thing that people want to see in porn is someone pulling a penis out of an anus and putting it into someone's mouth and or vagina. But what they don't realize is that we're making a movie. We can cut, we can clean a penis, and then move on with the scene. It's never going directly from one place to another because we are not putting ourselves into any physical harm either. So what you're not seeing is a lot of editing and making movie magic. What you are seeing is completely fake. So please never take porn for real life. There's a lot of edits and a lot of magic that happens that you are not seeing. It is completely unsafe.
Bravo to you for being honest about that. Bravo, really.
Yeah.
Welcome to Dr. Sex Fairy, America's top-rated sexuality podcast. I am Dr. Kanwal Bawa, America's favorite sex doctor, and I am here to transform your life. Our topic today is controversial. Pornography is a multi-billion dollar business. The porn website Xvideos gets 700 million more total visits than Amazon and 1.5 billion more visits than Netflix. Clearly, a lot of people are watching pornography, but there is a lot of hypocrisy surrounding it. There is also a large group of people who say that porn is causing the breakdown of modern-day relationships. Some even blame it for the rise in sexual problems like erectile dysfunction. But is that really the case? Anything in excess is bad, and porn is no different. I have no skin in the game either way. I am not for pornography or against it. I am simply facilitating an important discussion. My guest today is famous adult star Sylvia Sage. She has been performing stand-up comedy for 12 years, and is also the host of a podcast titled Sexy, Funny, Raw. Stay tuned for a conversation that is sure to make you rethink not just porn, but pleasure, sex, and sexual performance. And welcome to the Dr. Sex Fairy podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
So you are going to teach our listeners and our viewers all kinds of spicy things today, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Tips for the men and tips for the women.
Yeah, I always say the biggest tip for both men and women is going to be healthy communication. That is the number one tip. But then, of course, there's a lot of spicier things to go along the way.
You are absolutely right. In fact, I often tell my patients and my listeners that the most important sexual organ is not a penis or a vagina, it's the brain. So you are 100% right when you say that communication is the most important tip.
Yeah. Especially working with such a vast group of people, I'm always meeting new people and having to dive into what their sexual appetite is. So asking questions along the way is the number one thing. We in the adult film industry are super blessed, I guess you would say, because we have before every sex scene, a list that we run through. It's a consent list, and that will give your partner everything from the type of verbiage you would like to hear to the kissing style you would like to have, everything from the grip you would like on your penis, whether you would like fingers inserted in the vagina. We go through a full breakdown of what that person is comfortable with that day, and it makes the scene 10 times better because everyone is completely comfortable with what they're about to do. And unfortunately, in real life situations, we don't get that checklist. So it's very important to run through that with your partner, whether it's your partner that you've had for 20 years or if it's a brand new partner, because everybody day to day has different things that they're comfortable with. Some days you might be comfortable with, you know, a rougher sex or maybe even, you know, playing with the back door perhaps, but that's not an everyday situation. So you really want to just keep continually checking in with your partner to see where their comfort lies that day.
Your idea of a consent list is wonderful because yeah. I never even knew people did that in the porn industry, of course, but I tell people you have got to communicate. And, yeah. You know, communication is such an important part of lubrication So if you're communicating, you are on better terms as to what is or isn't okay, what you like, what you don't like. Some women may like rougher sex, like you said, some women don't, or a certain pressure.
Yeah. And I think a big part of the communication lack that people have is not wanting to hurt your partner's feelings, or maybe feeling like you might intimidate your partner with bringing up something sexually that you feel they may not be comfortable with. But that's where I always say it's good to make a list separate from your partner with things that maybe you want to try with them, and then slide that list to your partner at a time when it's not sexual, at a time maybe you're having, you know, dinner, or like put it in their briefcase, you know, and let them review it at their own time and come back to you, where they can have the conversation more open with their own list and their own ideas. Because I think a lot of times when you're in the act, it seems like you don't want to speak up. Maybe, you know, you would like a little bit more pressure on the balls or on the shaft or something along those lines, but they don't want to say that because they may feel that that tells them that you're not doing a good job, when in fact the job could just be done a little bit better, you know?
Agreed. And I once heard a divorce attorney say that the best time to discuss how a marriage ends is when the relationship is actually going very well. So the time you have to, you know, decide about the prenup is when you actually like each other.
Yeah.
So when it comes to communication about sex and sexual activity, sometimes it's so much better to have that conversation in advance, because in the moment, like you said, you're feeling vulnerable. You don't really want to be corrected. But then again, you can always gently move your partner's hand to where you want it to be, or away from where you don't want it to be.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It really just becomes knowing yourself. In fact, I always suggest to people, if you want to have the best sex life you can, you need to start by knowing your own body. Start with masturbation. Really know what gets you off. That way you can properly communicate it to your partner. Because if you don't know what you want sexually, how are they supposed to know? It's really hard to navigate new waters with somebody. So if you already know things that you're into, you know, maybe you're into certain sex toys, or, you know, certain fetishes, it's nice to know that about yourself and what's really going to, you know, take you to the full Monty, if you will.
What are the top five tips you would give men on better performance?
I would start by telling a man to go slow and soft. I think a lot of men really get into their head this vision of sex that is rough. And they get this, unfortunately, from my world, which is pornography, where a lot of times you're seeing rougher sex, more male-dominated sex. It's more about, you know, covering a woman in cum than it is making a woman get off. And I think porn does such a poor job of that, which is why I always say it should never be sex education. But I would say soft and slow with your hands, gentlemen. That is the first thing that you're going to want to do in order to get your partner off. Now, if she says go a little harder, then by all means. But again, with that communication and listening to her, a woman's vagina is a very delicate place. It is a very soft flower, and it does not need to be destroyed. So just easy, soft kisses. Start with light touches. Don't try to go too aggressive. Don't go too porn style on your woman.
I've said that before. Porn is entertainment, not sex education. So I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. Secondly, I would suggest to our men, if you are having any problems with erectile dysfunction or anything along those lines, where maybe you are having a problem with reaching full ejaculation or even getting a full erection, I would say do not feel uncomfortable going to your physician, asking for some, you know, sex aids. Almost every man in the porn industry is taking some sort of supplement to keep them either hard, lasting longer, or to supply a bigger cum load. So do not be afraid to reach out and have those uncomfortable conversations with your doctor to make your sex life even better.
Again, I agree. In fact, that's what I do here at Bava Medical. Yeah. I believe strongly in the importance of preservation, not just repair and rejuvenation, though I'm all for repair and rejuvenation. And like we were talking about, how the best time to communicate is before the act. I also think it's good to think about preserving function before it becomes a problem. So a little bit can go a very long way if done early. So blockages, they're the number one cause of erectile dysfunction. And shockwave done the right way can be transformative for a man's penile function. Then again, it is also transformative for a woman's vaginal function. So, you know, when you flow, you grow, gentlemen. So when you have good blood flow there, you are going to have better erections. You'll get hard faster. You will stay hard longer. And you will get harder. So, you know, it's a win-win situation. And for women too, you know, you have to have good blood flow to have good vaginal tissue, to have good lubrication. So, yes, absolutely. Going to the doctor is very important. And I think they should do it sooner rather than later because there's too much of the I'm not that bad yet mentality.
Yeah. And I love what you said about the getting the blood flow going, because that would be my next tip as well, is that foreplay is so very important. Sex is not just sex, and it should not start just at sex. Sex is everything involved in the day. All of the foreplay, all of the sexy messaging back and forth, you know, the fun flirty text or just a, you know, a smack on the butt before you leave for the day. All of those things are going to lead to a better sex life with your partner in the end, because women need to be stimulated before we can really enjoy sex. If we don't have the proper blood flow going down south, we are not going to get wet and we are not going to enjoy the sex nearly as much. So I think a lot of men forget how much foreplay really does need to be going into a healthy sex life. And if you're not giving her that foreplay, that little bit of an extra attention, the sex for her especially is going to be very diluted and it is going to feel more like a job instead of a pleasure.
Yes, women need 20-something minutes of actual stimulation before sex on average. And people don't realize it's not just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, I've had partners before that thought it was almost sexy to walk in the door and rip clothes off. And I'm like, that could be hot, except for you're about to rip me open also because I haven't had the time to let my, you know, vagina, vulva expand with all the heavy blood flow. So yeah, it's definitely something, a slow process and work into it. But that will definitely help increase everybody's better time and a better sex enjoyment.
Everybody's juices will flow better.
Don't be afraid of lubrication. I feel like sometimes a lot of men can be intimidated if a woman is reaching for lube. Maybe he's not doing his job. He's not getting her wet enough. When actually for a lot of women, especially older women like myself, we don't produce as much naturally. So we do need that extra help with lube or maybe even with a sex toy in the bedroom. But I really want men to know that this isn't an intimidation thing. You should not be afraid to be bringing things into the bedroom. Just know that it's a compliment to you. It is something that's going along to make the sex better, and don't be afraid to bring things into the bedroom.
I mean, she's there having sex with you. Clearly she's into you. So they shouldn't think that, oh, I'm not getting her hot and excited if she needs lube. She's not getting wet enough.
Sex toys in general are so amazing and can really spice things up for people. I would also say do not be afraid of sex toys in general. Bringing toys into the bedroom is definitely a way to spice things up. Sex has a tendency of getting a little bit boring, especially if you're with the same person all the time. I feel like a lot of people almost kind of schedule it into their day. But sex toys can be a nice way to spice things up. Maybe you come home with a new toy. Maybe you want to try some things out together. But again, the same with the lubrication. A toy is not replacing you as a man. It is simply a tool that you can both use together. And a lot of sex toys have benefits for both men and women when used correctly.
Yes, sex toys are your friend. They are not the enemy. Yeah. It's a team effort.
Yes. And as many people as you want on that team, bring them into play.
That's right. So what about sex tips for women?
Oh my gosh. Women, this is where I say, get to know yourselves. That is the number one thing I can always say to women is we need to know ourselves, especially I was born in the Midwest and I was raised very religious. And so I was taught that sexuality in general was just such a bad thing, especially if you were not married. I never even touched myself until I was in college because I was so very afraid to be judged by the man upstairs. But I think it's such a healthy thing for women to familiarize ourselves with our bodies and really learn what's going to make you get to your highest point. I cannot stress enough, if you do not understand your body, nobody else is going to be able to do that for you.
I talked about this on my podcast about, you know, on the topic of orgasm gap. And I think that, you know, I'm playing the devil's advocate. I'm here for both the men and women. I'm not here for either party, just, you know, by themselves. So the thing is, so many times men get the blame that women aren't orgasming, but women are faking it. And yeah. You can't fake it if you want to make it, because you're telling him that something is working when it isn't. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you are not doing anything to help yourself along in that cause either.
Yeah, absolutely. Another big thing I would say for women is learn how to properly clean yourself. This is something that I personally struggled with myself. It's not even a cleanse of the outside. It's know how to keep your body clean all the way through. Every woman should be on a probiotic because our vaginas are doing a constant cleaning of themselves, but there is bad bacteria and there is good bacteria, and we need to make sure that those levels are balanced. I know myself, I suffer or had suffered in the past with chronic BV, bacterial vaginosis. And all that was for me was not being on a proper probiotic. And I think a big thing where a lot of women get into their own heads is, how do I smell? How is the freshness going on down there? And it can really get into a lot of women's heads and really play with their sexuality. I know a lot of women who do not like to have their vagina eaten because they're worried about the smell or, you know, what they may be putting out down there. And that's your own personal health and something that I feel like all women should have a good handle on if they truly want to be enjoying sex. I don't ever want to feel like I can't let a man go down on me because I don't have the confidence in my own body. So that's definitely something we want to get on top of, ladies, is having your own health in check, knowing exactly where your pH levels are. There are actually little sticks you can get to check your own pH balance at home, and it will actually tell you what you need to add or maybe take away in order to get those levels balanced out right, so you can feel completely confident walking into a bedroom.
Yes, and call your doctor.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's almost going the other way now. There's so much available over the counter. You can test for a urine infection and you can test for the pH and all that. And I'm all for that. I just want people to use that as a tool, but not forget that ultimately they need a medical provider.
I would actually say to you in that, how would you tell people to feel more comfortable making those appointments? Because I think that's something a lot of people really struggle with. I'm lucky in the adult industry that we have physicians that are kind of set aside just for us, and they deal with our issues, you know, pretty much just our issues. We don't really have to go and see a primary care physician. They're known as like porn doctors, and they kind of deal with any STIs or any infections that we may have. And so it's very comfortable going to those doctors because it's very little judgment. But I do feel like a lot of times people have that mentality of, I don't want to tell anybody that there's something negative going wrong with me sexually. So how would you want them to feel more comfortable? That's a great question.
That is an excellent question, my friend. So I think both the providers, the doctors themselves, and the people who need the doctors should change their outlook on the topic. Firstly, men and women alike, they're embarrassed. Like you said, it's a very intimate thing for them to go to a doctor and seek help for odor. They feel judged because they feel dirty. They feel like, you know, skanky. It's just one of those things. Men feel like less of a man sometimes if they tell a doctor that, you know, they're not getting hard enough. So they have to understand that the very first step of getting better is admitting that there is a problem and not feeling judged, because any good doctor got into this to help people. And we can't help you until you first admit that there is a problem. And two, you come to us and tell us honestly what the problem is. Because if you have had a new sexual partner and you came to us 2 months ago and you had a new sexual partner then, we aren't going to think, oh my God, what a horrible woman. She's had two men in 2 months. Just tell us, because when we know better, we are able to do better and we are better able to understand what's going on. So if you look at men, sometimes they'll come into my office because I do non-surgical penis enlargement. I do Bava Big. So sometimes they come and they want to just talk about that. And I say, okay, we'll talk about that. But I first want to ask you about your erectile health. Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. And then when you start asking them detailed questions, do you get hard as quickly? Do you stay as hard? How are things compared to 10, 15 years ago? Then the truth starts to come out. So I think that number one thing for them to do is be honest and seek help. Yeah. For doctors, for my colleagues, I would say, learn to do better for your patients. Ask those questions. When a woman says, no, I don't suffer from incontinence, don't just take that as the answer and move on to the next question, if you even bother to ask that question. And many of us don't. So I ask women, do you sneeze and dribble a little? Do you cough and dribble a little? And more often than not, they'll say, you know, I do actually, but I didn't think that was incontinence. So, you know, like with the men, I ask them those penile questions. It's up to us also to get the information out of our patients, because very often they don't even know that these two things may be connected. So I think those are the important things.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I have, you know, I have felt sex shamed by physicians in the past. So I will say that's why I am very grateful that we do have our porn doctor, where it feels like there is no judgment. I can tell him I've just had an orgy and it doesn't come across as me being, you know, a slut, you know. But I have had a doctor in the past, basically slut shame me in a doctor's office. So it does get to a point where, you know, it does feel uncomfortable to go into certain offices. So I very much appreciate you saying that your colleagues also need to have a little bit more of an open mind, because it can be a rough situation for everybody involved. But
it really is. I think too often doctors judge their patients, and too often when the doctors aren't doing the judging, the patients themselves feel judged. So it's a, you know, it's a two-way street. We all have to be honest and accepting of each other.
Getting back to those sex tips for ladies, the next I would say, which I mentioned with men as well, but this is where I say lube is your friend, ladies. Lube is your friend for so many reasons, especially if you're going to be doing any backdoor play, but front door play as well, because there are so many micro tears that can happen both in the vagina and in the anus, which can be very detrimental to your health. So if you are not using proper lubrication, you actually can be ripping and tearing and causing yourself more pain that is completely unnecessary. So lube is your friend.
And since you brought that up, I should probably specify that it's okay to go from the vagina to the anus or to the rectum, the back door, but it's not okay to go from the back door into somebody's vagina, because you will cause horrific infections.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's another porn myth as well. There's, you know, an act in pornography, and it's called ATM, which we can all do it here. It's called ass to mouth. And that's such a big thing that people want to see in porn, is someone pulling a penis out of an anus and putting it into someone's mouth and or vagina. But what they don't realize is that we're making a movie. We can cut, we can clean a penis, and then move on with the scene. It's never going directly from one place to another, because we are not putting ourselves into any physical harm either. So what you're not seeing is a lot of editing and making movie magic. What you are seeing is completely fake. So please never take porn for real life. There's a lot of edits and a lot of magic that happens that you are not seeing. It is completely unsafe.
Bravo to you for being honest about that. Bravo, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I really hate all of the porn misconceptions of what really goes on in there. It's a lot of movie magic that people don't see.
And hair and makeup.
Yes, absolutely.
Also, I don't want people to think that they have to look like you to have a good sex life.
Yes.
Because, you know, normal women, you know, there's weight gain, there's pregnancy, there's stuff like that. Not everybody can look like you.
Yeah, I tell people that all the time. I am a single woman. I've never had kids, so I don't have, you know, a lot of the recovery things. I also have a lot of spare time. So I work out 6 days a week and I keep my diet very restrictive for the simple fact that I am naked on camera. That is not something that you're going to see on a regular basis. And I have had plenty of women come up to me and say the same thing. It's very hard for them to compete or feel sexy in the bedroom because they're competing against porn stars who look like myself naked, when people don't realize that my whole life is dedicated to exactly how I look. So it's a big part of my image, but that's not an everyday situation. And women should feel beautiful in the bedroom. You should feel sexy. If it's, you know, buying the lingerie or whatever it is, or if it's just simply turning the lights off, whatever is going to make you feel sexy, please do. Please do that.
And also, their men don't necessarily love them less or desire them less just because they watch you on screen, because they may enjoy watching you, but they do enjoy having sex with their partner as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And all bodies are amazing. And one thing I do love about porn is there is inclusivity. You can search the web and find pretty much anybody having sex, especially these days. So there is a lot of, you know, larger women having sex, or even, you know, I hate to say it, but all of the, you know, the niches, all the smaller women, there's a lot of the teeny boppers, a lot of the, you know, MILF porn, sexualizing older women, which of course I love because I didn't get into the adult industry until I was 30, and being 40 now, I even feel, you know, not necessarily my sexiest because I'm competing with, you know, 20-year-olds all the time. So it really is just a mentality of what makes you feel sexy.
I had Brandy Love, the, you know, the famous MILF porn star, on this podcast a few months ago, and she was talking about how she didn't even start acting in porn movies until after she'd become a mother. So everybody has a different path to porn and to sexuality.
Absolutely. Yeah, I am honestly, I'm so grateful to pornography all the time for what it has opened me up to sexually. I have been put in so many different sexual positions. That sounds bad. I have been put in different sexual positions, but in different sexual situations is what I'm saying. Because of porn that I would have never had in a normal life, whether that be orgies or even female and female sex or having sex with bi men, those types of things that I would have never probably experienced in my real life until getting into porn and making these movies. And then I was able to see what I liked and what I don't like. And I know personally, I'm not an orgy person, but I learned that along the way. So I'm just very, very thankful that I've gotten to open things up. I've been with 2 men at once, you know, the things that not a lot of people would be able to do. And I've really broadened my sexuality thanks to porn. And I realize not everyone gets the chance to do that, but I really wish they did. I really wish more people would try different things sexually. And it doesn't mean going outside of your partner if you do have a partner, but just trying things within your relationship to really spice things up.
So orgies can be fun, I suppose, but how do you stay out of trouble and not get STDs or STIs, as they call them nowadays, sexually transmitted infections?
Yeah, so our industry is actually very regulated when it comes to testing. Adult performers are required to test within 2 weeks, every 2 weeks, basically, because there is obviously a window where even if you're testing and something has happened that you may not show up positive on that test, it does take sometimes at least 48 hours before something will show up in your system. But a lot of performers, myself included, I have a 48-hour testing requirement. So if I am having sex with somebody, they will have to have had tests within 48 hours prior to that. But everyone will come with a test. Now, it is not 100% guaranteed, because obviously there are people who have been tested within that 2-week period who will then have other partners before they get to you. So there is some chance of cross-contamination with somebody who may not be tested and now they've brought it into a group scenario. But I will say, in my 10 years of pornography, I have contracted something 4 different times, which Honestly, sounds like a high number. I give that to most people. But when I've had hundreds of partners and done hundreds and not thousands of scenes in this last decade, that long of amount of time with that few amounts of popping positive is actually a pretty good, pretty good run.
It's all relative. You're right. It's all relative.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, testing is very regulated within our industry.
Okay, that's good to know. And not to belabor the point, but herpes, let's talk about that in particular. A lot of people test positive for herpes just because, you know, exposure is very easy with herpes. So they can be shedding without it even being visible. And they don't always test positive for it because when you swab, they may be nothing. And if you do a blood test, it's always positive and nothing changes that. So how do you get around the herpes situation? Do people get a lot of genital herpes or even oral herpes in porn?
Yes. So that is something that we do not test for in the adult industry. It is an option if you would like to get it on a test, but in the same way that you just mentioned, it is, you know, pretty regular and pretty normal for people to test positive for herpes because it is something that lives in your system for your entire life. And you're right. Well, you know, different viral loads can come at different moments, usually involving stress will increase a viral load. But that is, again, something that we do not test for. It is pretty prominent in our industry that most people carry the herpes virus. I don't know if I want to say nice about the herpes virus, but I'm sure that you know, once you've contracted it in one area, whether that be oral herpes or genital herpes, that that's the only place you will get an outbreak from there on out. So I myself have genital herpes, though I will never have an outbreak on my mouth, and vice versa for people who have the oral will not get it downstairs. But I, like most performers, are on a daily medication. So it suppresses your viral load, making it much harder to transmit to a new partner.
Well, in theory, you can have herpes orally and down under because you can get two different kinds of herpes. So you see, there's a thought process that genital herpes stays in the genitals and oral herpes stays oral. But the thing is, HSV-1 and HSV-2 can go in either place. And just because you've had HSV in one place doesn't mean you can't get HSV-2 in another place. So it's still a tricky thing to go through, you know, having unprotected sex or even kissing, really.
That is very interesting because I had actually heard the opposite from another physician. I had been told that once you have an outbreak in one, you will never have the other. And in my years, I was actually myself diagnosed with herpes at 17. So, and I've never had a oral outbreak. So I didn't know that. So I've just learned something new from you today. But I also like to remind people that herpes is more common than the COVID virus. So the amount of people you know who are walking around with herpes is much higher than you think. And I really hate that it's such a stigmatized disease. It is something that most people live completely normal lives with and doesn't affect their day to day, myself included.
Yes, there are people who can carry the virus and never have an outbreak.
Yeah.
So it's possible. It's just a tricky, tricky virus. But anyway, this is supposed to be a fun episode. So let's get back to fun conversations. Though I'm very glad we talked about STDs because it's an important topic. It's something that can change and ruin lives in so many ways. So I'm glad we talked about it. And I really, really appreciate your honesty about it because it is something very common. People suffer from it all the time, especially genital herpes. There's a lot of shame associated with it. And while it's not good to have it, well, if you have it, are you going to ruin your life over it? As long as you're transparent with your partner and take precautions yourself, it shouldn't keep you from having a fulfilling sex life.
Agreed. Yeah.
Let's talk about faking it, because I talked about the orgasm gap earlier, and I asked Brandy Love the same question. How many women in porn are really faking it?
Everyone in porn is faking it. And I will say that is something that is unfortunate, but we are actors. We are getting paid to be here and make you think that it is the most amazing sex that we have ever had. The big thing about porn is they like to have an orgasm in every position, which in true sex is nearly impossible, especially for women, because there's very few positions where women are actually going to get off. Women need to be stimulated both clitorally. That's how most women get off, but internally as well, being stimulated. But I would please, please stress to women in real life scenarios, do not fake your orgasms. Like we had mentioned before, that gives false information to your partner to where their head is going, I've done it right. I've done all of the things that I need to do, and I will not change anything to make it better in the future because she's already where she needs to be. But if you're being honest with yourself and with your partner and letting them know when you are getting off and when you are not getting off, that is something that will be very crucial to you enjoying sex in the future.
You've had a successful adult film career, but you are also a stand-up comedian and a podcaster. Tell us about that.
What most people don't know is I actually started with stand-up comedy. After I left the medical field, where I worked as an x-ray technician for nearly a decade, I decided to move to California to try my hand at stand-up comedy, which eventually led me down the adult film path simply for finances. And that's where I fell in love with the adult industry. Once again, it gave me just so many opportunities to find my own sexuality. And what I hated the most about working in pornography was the outside distractions, how society views porn stars, how society makes people in porn feel like they are less than or othered or maybe not even a crucial part of society any longer. And that to me really stuck with me and was something that I knew I wanted to change. So I came up with the idea of starting my own podcast. It's called Sexy, Funny, Raw. And on the show, we have other porn actors, other comedians, doctors, therapists, everyone on the show to really talk sex and make it a conversation that is not shameful and fun and informative, educational, and just a way to really take the taboo away from sex and sex workers and have everybody having the amazing sex that sex workers are having.
That's a wonderful thing because I think sex positivity is important and also sexual and intimate wellness is important. That education is very important. So it's a wonderful thing that you're using your platform to do that.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. And it is on topics like we talked about, the STIs and things of that nature, because I think there is so much negative that comes from, you know, having herpes or getting an STI in general. And there's just so much around that, that I want to bring attention to it and let people know that it isn't life ending. Having, you know, especially having a chlamydia or gonorrhea or something like that, that is a pill and a shot and a week, you know, a week of downtime before you're healthy and better again. And even if it is something as serious as the herpes virus, which unfortunately does happen to the majority of adults, you can get it through just simply kissing somebody. So it's not even necessarily a sexually transmitted disease, although that's how most people think of it. I do like to really inform people that it is something you can happily live with and something that does not destroy your sex life.
Those are wise words, my friend.
Thank you.
So how can people find you?
You can find me on social media. Instagram is the Sylvia Sage, SilviaSaige. You can find me on Twitter or X at Sylvia Sage XXX. You can find me on OnlyFans, Sylvia Sage XXX, or you can find my podcast on YouTube, OnlyFans TV, and all streaming networks.
And soon they can find me on your podcast as well, because I will be coming on it.
That's right. And I'm very excited for that. Thank you so much.
I'm looking forward to it. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast today and helping our viewers and our listeners have hot, spicy sex, and also for giving them the encouragement that they are good enough, that they shouldn't take porn too seriously, that it's entertainment, not education. So thank you for your honesty.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Today, we ventured into the controversial territory of pornography, a multi-billion-dollar industry that remains shrouded in stigma and debate. Through our discussion, we have peeled back at least some of the layers of misconception and examined the complex relationship between porn, relationships, and sexual health. I hope that our conversation has ignited a spark of curiosity within you, prompting deeper reflection of the role of pornography, even in your own life. Remember, balance is key. A heartfelt thank you to Sylvia Sage for sharing her insight and perspective. As I end this episode, I encourage you to continue this dialogue in your own circles. Share this episode with your partner and friends. Feel free to contact me through my website, drsexfairy.com. You can always give us a call at 1-877-DrSexFairy or fill out the contact form on the website. Check out my links in the podcast description below, including a link for the Dr. Sex Fairy supplements. Subscribe to the Dr. Sex Fairy podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and don't forget to leave me a review. Your subscriptions and reviews will help this podcast grow. For those of you on YouTube, like this video, share it with your partner and friends, and subscribe to the Dr. Sex Fairy channel for more wonderful content to come. Until next time.